Our second scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. We've been in Luke for a long time. Now we're shifting gears in Advent. We're going to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says this, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven." He's talking to them about his coming, his second coming. "Nor the Son, but only the Father. As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on which day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief would be coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Well, as I told the children, Advent means coming. And in the church, coming means waiting, doesn't it? You come, and you sit, and you wait, and then we do the service. And how many times in our lives do we find ourselves at that place where we're waiting? And I ask you this morning, what's your approach to waiting? Now, some people get really constructive. I had a lady whose husband was chronically ill, and she had to spend many hours taking him to doctor's appointments and hospitalizations. She took up knitting. And so when she waited, she knitted. She knitted Christmas presents for children and grandchildren. She knitted sweaters for this husband who was ill. She knitted all of these things. That was her constructive way of waiting. I guess one of the things in my thinking about this lesson today is to use our creative minds to wait in the way that the Lord Jesus would have us to wait, and to really think about it and be very intentional in how we wait. Jesus tells his disciples to come, to watch, and to look for the day. As Isaiah says, when swords will be beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. And oh, how we long for the day when nations will not take up swords against nation, and no one will train for war anymore. We're waiting for that time. Waiting. Waiting can become destructive. I'm reminded, my dear sister passed away a few years ago. One of my most intense memories of our childhood together was, this was back in the 50s, there was a brand new mall in the town about 20 miles from our home where our parents did their shopping anyway. But this was a new thing, a mall, actually different stores all in one place, and a parking lot. You didn't have to search all every street to find a place to park. The lot was immense. For us, it just seemed like it went on forever. So my parents said, after church Sunday, we're going up and we're going to see the new mall. So we did. We went up to the mall. They parked and they said, children, wait in the car. Big mistake. Wait in the car. My sister and I were generally good kids, so we waited. We were sitting there, and my sister was an animal lover, an intense animal lover. I mean, even to her dying day, I don't know how many animals she had on the day she passed away, but a lot. And she noticed that there were dogs in the cars, and it was an unusually warm December day. We know we get those from time to time. And she said that the dogs were, you know, doing that thing. And so she jumped out of the car, went over to one of the ones near to us, and the door was unlocked, and she let the dog out. And being the big brother, still not very old, I'm thinking, that's something I'd enjoy doing. So we went through the whole parking lot and let out every dog that was in that wasn't locked. And there were a lot of them, believe it or not. There must have been 30, 40 dogs running loose in that parking lot. And so we went back to our car feeling very satisfied. And we sat and, you know, took our positions as obedient little children. And our parents came back. And suddenly the fire trucks arrived. There were policemen. And they were cordoning off the area trying to round up dogs. And my dad got in the car and he said, what's all the hullabaloo? I looked at my sister and we smiled and we said, no, nothing, Dad, we don't know. You know? to this day, he doesn't know that we're the ones that perpetrated that. So, but you got to watch this idea of waiting. It can get a little bit out of hand sometimes. Jesus advised his disciples. He said it will be like the days of Noah, with people going about their ordinary lives, and then suddenly the Son of God will come. He'll call the faithful to his side. There might be two women who are cooking together or grinding together, and one will be taken and one was left. Two men working in the fields, one will be taken and one left. And Jesus said, using an unusual metaphor, that his coming will be like a thief in the night. Never have we ever thought of Jesus as a thief coming in the night, have we? So he says, you must be ready, keep watch and wait. Now, waiting, we know, requires a lot of personal discipline. I told you the example of the lady who took up knitting because she spent so much time in waiting rooms. And I always taught my children to find something constructive to do, especially with my experience as a youngster that I just told you about. I worried. I never left in the car, by the way. But our eldest, Jason, was in Hawaii. He was a newly minted Marine back in 1991, and the Gulf War was just beginning, and he was waiting with several other Marines as to, you know, where he was going to be sent during the assault on Iraq. And Jason did what I taught him to do. I said, you know, I tried to get him to find things constructive to do. Jason just couldn't stand sitting there waiting, you know, for the call about what he was going to do. So he asked if he could help the gardener. The gardener was out there, and the gardener gave him a weed eater, and he was weed eating around the lawn. Well, as he was weed eating, a sergeant came and gathered up all the other Marines that were there and said, well, y'all are going to the front line. You're shipping out right now. Jason, of course, they found Jason later on, and he said, oh, you're going to go on a ship. You're going to vector aircraft for the duration of the war. It saved him from being on the front line of the Iraqi invasion. Though he wasn't real pleased as a Marine, but I was pleased as punch to hear that story because, you know, my little lessons about waiting were not wasted, and they saved him from being in harm's way, which, praising God for that. The idea then is to wait, but then be disciplined in our waiting. And what does that mean in the context of our scripture lesson? Why is Jesus telling these things to his disciples? You know, earlier in another passage, Jesus says, watch, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. As you watch a fig tree and it blooms and blossoms and it brings forth figs, so watch the times as you wait. So Jesus is implying that there's going to be some discipline about this, some watchfulness that's involved. I read an interesting article the other day about this idea where Jesus says there will be wars and rumors of wars. Actually, this was a sermon that was written in another denomination that I happened to read. And this pastor took it and he did the research and found out that for those of us in the United States, that about every 23 years, we get into a war in our history. He was going way back, you know, to the Revolutionary War up to the present. And what he observed was that, you know, for those first few years, it was about every 23 years, the United States got into some kind of a fracas, a war. But then, when we come to the Vietnam era, the pace has picked up. We've been involved with a lot more wars than even, I even forgot about the excursion into Panama several years ago. I don't count that as a war, but you know, our boys were sent to a place, and you know, they had to bring order to Panama at that time, and there were others. And what this minister found out in his research was that the pace is quickening, that the wars and rumors of wars are increasing. I think about the world today. Wow, you talk about rumors of wars. And we've got the Chinese and Taiwan. We've got North Korea and Japan. We've got, of course, Russia is already, you know, battling Ukraine. We're not sure how that's going to work out. There are other saber rattlings going on between Iran and Israel, or Iran and Iraq. You know, there are wars and rumors of wars. It's unprecedented in my lifetime that there have been so many hot spots that could erupt at any moment. And what this pastor was saying was that maybe this is a sign worth paying attention to in the season of Advent. Maybe this means that the coming of the Lord is not as far away as we think it might be. That the quickening of the number of these kinds of wars means that the time is getting closer. And of course, we know that's true. With every day, we know the coming of the Lord is coming closer. But so I'll return now to how we wait. We've determined that it has to be a disciplined kind of waiting. And the first thing in that discipline that Jesus requires, the reason he spent so much time with this, is that he wanted his disciples to surrender. To surrender to the idea and the time of waiting. If you surrender to it, then you can open your eyes to see and your ears to hear these events that Jesus has highlighted. While at the same time, you're thinking about the end of the end product of what we're waiting for. And that's that time that Isaiah talked about, when swords would be beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, when nations will not take up sword against nation, and they will study war no more. Remember that song from the 60s? They will study war no more. That's where that came from. Isaiah chapter 2. They will study war no more. So part of our discipline as Christians is to surrender our time and talents to do exactly what Jesus instructed his disciples to do, to be ready, to watch, and to wait. May we do so in this Advent season of 2022. And may the Lord come soon. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Join me in a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are coming soon. This world needs you so badly. I just rattled off some of the places that might erupt in war at any moment where innocence and families and children and grandchildren might die. Come, Lord Jesus, come and teach us to wait and be watchful and make the most of our time. We pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.